Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 106.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by the team at Rewind. You know something? Accidents can happen, and it can have a major financial impact on your business. What happens if you install an app and it messes up your theme, or you upload a product catalog with errors, or even worse, a store collaborator deletes product images by mistake? The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. Untrue. Myth busted. Shopify has no native backups. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. Rewind should be the first app you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. The Rewind app is trusted by over 30,000 businesses, from side hustlers to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade or Movement Watches. And best of all, respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month of backups absolutely free. Protect your business, get peace of mind with Rewind Backups. Download the app today from the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.io. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Cody Wittick, who is the co-founder and managing partner from Kinship. They're an influencer marketing agency, and they're based in Orange County, California. Now, they work with brands across all different industries, but they typically find themselves within a few categories of fitness, health and wellness, apparel, beauty, cosmetics, and dabble a bit in the pet market. But Kinship really specializes in helping brands identify creators that convert, really that help to sell the product, really on behalf of all the brands. And they focus mainly on repurposing influencer-generated content into other marketing channels, specifically into Facebook and Instagram ads. So exciting episode, very timely episode leading into BFCM and the holiday season. So hi, Cody. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, you're a co-founder of Kinship. You have an influencer marketing agency. Can you share with the listeners today what you do and the sort of problems that you're solving for Shopify store owners?
So we are an influencer marketing agency that could be easily called an influencer content agency, if you will. There's not many of those called that these days, but we specialize in identifying creators on their ability to sell, just basically giving ownership rights back to the brand. And so what I would say the problems that we solve is, in our experience, influencer marketing is kind of the sexy channel that no one has time to do, but tries anyway. Right. We take it off your hands, but our goal is that when you work with us, you feel equipped to do this on your own eventually. Even really believing that influencer marketing should exist in-house, and that's coming from an agency. But what I mean by that is those relationships should exist within in-house. And so really our job is to really give you a strategy and philosophy.
Yeah, I'm all about scalability. I think that's one of the things as brands are trying to grow and breaking out into new channels and things like that. They're always thinking about what's the human capital or what's the trade-off of wanting to do this tactic or this strategy. And then, but you have to give up something else or you have to add more onto your plate. And people are already pretty stretched as it is, especially with entrepreneurial people.
So
I think that's one advantage that we'll talk about for sure about that new Kinship app. So let's talk a tiny bit about the founder's journey. It's always interesting to me how people build what they build. In your case, an agency and now a Shopify app. But let's talk about that. What do you believe, I guess, uniquely positions you and your co-founder, I guess, number one, to have the desire and then number two, to have the expertise to want to create this agency and now this app?
I would say both of us, me and my co-founder, Taylor Lagsay, have two unique backgrounds. I was with a brand called Kalo. It was the creator of the silicone wedding ring industry, basically.
Right. And
I was responsible for building that influencer ambassador program there. Had the opportunity to work with some big names across many different professional sports, all the way down to your mommy bloggers and pet influencers, et cetera. And then my partner came from Common Thread Collective, which is a ad buying agency. And he was responsible for working with influencers. And he just saw time and time again. And even my experience at Kalo, we just saw influencer creative and our influencer partnerships be the best performing in ads. And so we just thought, hey, let's get together and start doing this for all kinds of brands.
Yeah, absolutely. I follow a lot. And I'll put these links in the show notes. I think that Kalo brand is still existing on Shopify right now. And I know they're doing extremely well. I think there's been a few other copycats that have come along too, since they kind of innovated that silicone ring and bands and stuff. That was really interesting. And Common Thread Collective, the content they're producing as of late, once again, this will be in the show notes, really timely, very data-driven, very, very helpful, and just being on leading edge for content, just to learn about actionable strategies and whatnot. You mentioned earlier that you kind of specialize in identifying creators, and I guess you use the word helping people sell, maybe help convert more. So let's talk about that. I think there's some challenges right now about who owns the rights to the content that's being produced. And I mentioned that one of your superpowers is figuring out which influencers you can actually interact with. And then how do you get access to that content that they produce? And then how do you repurpose it on other social channels?
What I would say high level is a really delineation between creator versus distributor. And so when I say that, I mean, we really value influencers for their professional creation of the content much more than their distribution of it. I paint the picture of owning versus renting, or more of a diversified portfolio versus investing in one stock. And so that one stock being that influencer's audience comparatively to all the other sales generating avenues that a brand has in-house. And so when you can get this content and diversify it across email, a PDP page, specifically where we like to think, and what we've mentioned earlier is Facebook ads, that's where you really start to see the direct ROI. And what I would say is how you can actually work with influencers on this basis is, you know, authenticity is a word that gets thrown around all the time in our world. And how we can test that is their ability to sell. And so what that equals is, are they excited? Can they speak really well? Are they comfortable on camera? Can they talk in front of a camera and create captivating video content? Because a lot of times, you know, you have influencers, they can fake, you know, writing beautiful written copy or take an awesome image, but they can't fake if they're not excited about the product on video. Mm-hmm. And so what we really mean by that is authenticity is what we mean is relatability. And that's what sells. And so these networks are human to human interaction, and that's what they're created for. And so that goes into why we see them being the best creative as far as ad buying. Mm-hmm. But I will say though, context of this is after you've built relationships, because I think then there's trust built on that side of thing. I think, you know, from the jump, coming to an influencer and asking for, hey, give me all your content and give me the full usage rights is a big ask. And so we'll get into that with product seeding and how you build relationships. But I think that's at the end of the day, what we're trying to get to. And when we're working with influencers is for our brands and for our clients is, can we get these influencers to sell product? Because that's, you know, when I do these Shopify Growth Lab sessions in Shopify LA, or when I ask the audience, hey, what are you guys wanting out of ROI, out of influencer marketing? You know, 9 out of 10 of are saying sales, but that's really not, you know, a lot of times what they're seeing on the back end, because they're just doing really ineffective campaigns.
You know, this whole marketplace model of influencer marketing really gets under my skin, because I totally agree with you about the whole disingenuous nature of just giving money for in exchange for some kind of pretend endorsement, but it is fake. Right. I think people are getting wise to it. I think I'm learning a lot. There's a term that's been floated around recently called conscious capitalism. And the whole idea is that, you know, people are really getting behind brands with a cause. People are liking the transparency factor of, you know, do you truly love this product? And then and it's more than just trying to leverage some of their celebrity or notoriety of likes and followers. So I think that's good on you guys that you're not going down that marketplace road. I think there's some big influencers that are making a lot of money, and then a lot of other people are trying to get on that same train, and they feel the only way to do that is to be involved in a marketplace type influencer product, and there's lots of them out there. In the end of the day, I think you're better off to have a smaller group of more relatable influencers to help promote your product.
I love what you just said, because I think it gets back to just relationship building one-on-one. And a lot of times what, you know, these young brands or young entrepreneurs that are wanting to see a quick buck come in, they're just treating this as really poor communication with influencer, poor relationship building. And so anything that you do, whether that be email, Facebook ads, or influencer marketing, if it's just siloed and you're just trying to get this one thing, this one time, treating the influencer really poorly, hey, here's my product, please post, and I'm expecting thousands of dollars to come in. It just doesn't work like that, just like any other marketing channel.
So let's talk about some store owners maybe who haven't started an influencer campaign. I mean, I'm sure we all agree that it's important. Sometimes it's just not on their list of the next thing they need to work on. So can you share some details about how you believe people can get started in influencer marketing?
It's the $1 million question, right?
Yeah.
It's what I get asked all the time. How do I start? What I would say is product seeding. And what I mean by product seeding is sending your product out for free. But we're afforded the opportunity to send out a ton of product. And so what I learned was we're able to build relationships in a really organic way and see these big time athletes and also just people that I've never heard of or people that are the connectors to all the different industries that we're trying to get into just rally around our brand. And so I would basically say, get your product out there, seed your product, get feedback, UGC, word of mouth awareness, start seeing people rally around your brand and basically create a great first impression for people that normally maybe wouldn't have heard of you before or ordered from you previously.
One thing that comes to mind is a term, I think social psychologists, I think they call it the law of reciprocity. And, you know, basically it says that when, you know, when someone does something nice to you, you have this kind of deep-rooted kind of psychological urge to want to do something nice in return. So I think that's what you're getting at with this whole seeding opportunity.
Right. 100%. And I would say what you're doing is you're building a relationship on giving, not asking. It's just a phrase that I just commonly say, and it rolls off my tongue all the time. Build the relationship on giving, not asking. And what 99% of brands do is the opposite. Their first touch point, their first impression with the influencer is, hey, can you post twice a week if I send you my product? They've never heard of your product before. They've never received its packaging, never been to your website. And that's their first impression is some owner or some, you know, marketing person basically saying, hey, I just want to exploit you. And so will you post twice a week based right. on me sending you my awesome product that you've never heard before? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. And so what I commonly compare it to is just dating. So it's like you going on your first date and saying, asking the girl out, will you pay for dinner? And you're just like, well, that date, you might have fun, but there is going to be no second date. So a lot of times, tying it back to influencers, you're going to get maybe the influencer will post, but that relationship doesn't really go past there. And so we take the complete opposite approach.
Yeah, I love it. So I've noticed that there is a kinship app. So you have an agency, kinship, the agency. So work done for brands, part of the whole execution, the strategy and the learnings and just helping execute. But on the other side, you have an app now. So let's talk about what sort of, I guess, the seeding problem right. that you're solving now with this app.
Yeah. So this was really birthed when I was at Kalo. I was, like I said, I was sending out tons of products for free to influencers. It was a huge focus of ours, constantly building relationships. But what I was doing was going out and zeroing out the order on the back end in Shopify. And that just got super laborious. So it was taking 15 to 30 minutes for just one person just to go create an order, fill out the name, address, size, product, SKU, all that stuff. And so that was really the birth of the idea. So I worked with my developer, Wade Sonnenberg. He's the man. We worked for almost 2 years on this. And what I realized is just influencer marketing just takes a ton of time. We've talked about that. Sometimes the simplest step of getting them the product is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, getting their address, then their size, then I might have to package the product myself or contact my 3PL or flag that order or commonly go into my basically Shopify store and create that $0 order like I mentioned. The solution in all this is really using our app. It just equips the brand to do it in a really 1, 2, 3 easy steps. You can upload all your customers just like you can do on a Shopify backend system. And the influencers are treated as customers in this case. And so you upload them and then basically you can fire away as far as sending out your product.
Yeah, what I'll do, make sure in the show notes, I'll have a link to the Shopify app. It's Kynship, so it's Kynship. And you'll have a, I know we did talk offline. We'll discuss a nice offer for those listening today about how they can take the app for a spin and see if this is a way of finally making the jump into influencer marketing. This show has a diverse range of Shopify entrepreneurs that are listening each week. Now, if you were to give some advice for those that are in their early stage of their business journey, I guess, as it relates to influencer marketing, like what sort of thing, I mean, start is one of the answers, but what specifically are you thinking that could help these early stage brands?
I think of that Steve Jobs quote, don't sacrifice brand for profit. And I think a lot that relates a lot to influencer marketing is you're trying to get that quick buck and you're sacrificing brand, you're sacrificing their first impression of you. And so if you just focus on just like that Jobs quote, if you focus on really great products, then the profits will follow. I think it relates to early stage people that want to start influencer. If you go transactional, an immediate ROI, you're going to get out of it very short-term success or failure for that matter, just like we talked about earlier, where it's very siloed. But practically, I think you need content anyways. And so what we talked about as the true value of influencer marketing, you just don't have the thousands of dollar budgets to do this big production shoots, which sadly might not be around anymore, at least for the near term. But these budgets that are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50K, even my experience at Kalo, but you can work with influencers for UGC that, you know, 500, 1,000, 1,500 bucks, and you're getting content that you get to repurpose, I think is really valuable.
Yeah, it's nice that these influencers, you know, like they're making a living. If they love the product and they do want to promote it and it's authentic, they've got all the hardware and, you know, and I guess the chops to be able to do this sort of work day in and day out. So you definitely get to leverage a lot of their strengths, both technically and then obviously through hardware and editing. So what about those listening today that would be more considered in the mid-market? So they're likely on Shopify Plus. They would have a small marketing team, definitely eager to grow and scale. Like from your vantage point, because you deal with lots of plus brands, what should people in the mid-market, like what should they be working on today?
I would say product seeding. I'm going to be beating that people over their head. But whatever your margins are, whatever your COGS are, I'd invest heavily into product seeding. I would just say we view it as the foundation of just every effective influencer campaign. And I see a lot of brands trying to do it or doing it really ineffectively. And so I would just start in terms of building relationships that way. If you have an MSRP product that's $600, send out one a month. If you can send out one product out for free a month to a person of influence, do it. We truly believe it's a compounding value that you can build a brand on for a really long time. The relationships it creates over time, the content it'll eventually create over time, it's a long-term brand play. And that's what people struggle with, especially early stage entrepreneurs. It's not a short-term return that you measure in dollars and a short-term impression.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think that makes a lot of sense. I like the compounding value of at least doing something and getting the product out into the hands of the people that could create the most impact and awareness and consideration for the product.
Right. And it's hard. And I understand, like when you have, you know, investors to report to or a board to report to, and, you know, you're investing in sending out product for free, and what are you getting out of return? But, you know, I still look at what I posted about this the other day on Twitter is I see Bryce Harper, you know, a Major League Baseball star, mm-hmm. still mm-hmm. posting about Kalo to this day. And that never would have happened. And he's doing that organically, by the way. That never would still be happening if we built that relationship on, hey, Bryce, can you post about us? Can you post about us? Can you post about us? Or didn't send product out for him and his wife, et cetera. Like these things that just, how do you measure that is really hard up front, but it's 1,000 times the value of the product seeding box that we sent out early in that day.
Yeah. I'm getting a theme here of being patient. right.
Yep.
I think that's it. So let's talk about the future of Kinship, both, I guess, from the agency side and then the app side. Are you able to share any North Star highlights, I guess, for the remainder of 2020 and into 21, partner alignment or any kind of innovation? I'm just, I guess, trying to get a feel into the day, like how do you believe that you'll continue to offer value and assistance to Shopify brands?
Yeah, I think the future of our space is really creating more marketplaces for influencer generated content or just UGC. I think these platforms such as Instagram, if they got rid of follower count tomorrow, a lot of our focus would still not change. It would still be focused on the content that these influencers are creating. That North Star that we're focused on is creating a marketplace and building off the app in that way. And then the next couple of months, we're trying to launch our own brand. So I'm excited to start using my own strategies and what I'm sharing today for something that I actually own.
Yeah, there's nothing better than being a practitioner. I mean, I used to have a startup 2009, launch visionpros.com in the contact lens and eyewear market. But I feel even though I, you know, have this podcast and I'm part of the merchant success team at Shopify Plus, and so I'm on the leading edge for what success looks like and how to execute great strategy. But I feel that it's good on you that you're going to be getting involved in being a practitioner. We are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave our listeners today?
I would say the phrase I said earlier, build the relationships on giving, not asking. I think that sets you up for success to be able to work with influencers in a greater term, because obviously I think brands and early startups want to eventually work with influencers on an official capacity. And of course, we're trying to equip people to do that. I just think up front, that first date, first impression, you want to build a relationship on giving. I think that's effective through product seeding. But eventually that conversation, just like how it materializes in real life, you want to work together on an official capacity. It's so much easier because you guys have built trust, you've built a community, and these things take progression. And if they're taking progression, they love your product, they love your brand, and they'll be willing to create content for you. And that's where it gets into my second point, which is, I would say that creators' ability to sell is the number one value and should be tested first. And so, you know, you have those relationships, you have tiered relationships, you have maybe relationships that you just seed, you have relationships that you work with on a month-to-month basis that gets you content, you have, you know, maybe a big time flag bearer, stick the flag in the ground and saying, I'm representing your brand, maybe a bigger name. So you have these different tiers, right, of influencers. And so it should be tested first is, maybe these influencers fall into one of those buckets, but if they can create really captivating and selling content, then you definitely want to capitalize on that.
So how can people learn more about Kinship, both the agency and the Shopify app?
Yeah, so you can connect with me personally. That is always a good start. I'm very active on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn. Our website, kinship.co. Going back into the Shopify kingdom is I created a course on Shopify Compass. 30-minute course, basically all my learnings, give you guys the best practices to do influencer marketing well. And that is on Shopify Compass. And Steve, I'm sure you'll have a link for that as well.
Yeah, I'll throw that for sure in the show notes. Yeah.
So, and then our app is on the App Store, just Kinship app. So that'll be linked as well.
Beautiful. And I know we spoke offline before recording today and I understand that you would like to offer, I guess, a listener only bonus or a little promotion. Are you able to share some of the details?
Yeah, absolutely. So Steve will have a link, ecommercefastlane.com/kinship. But normally our app is a 7-day free trial. It should be, you know, more than enough to get familiar with the app and its uses. But we're just going to extend that for 30 days so you guys can get full updated on how to effectively use it, send out product, and start scaling your influencer campaigns.
Love it. I just 30 days is like very generous, and it really does allow some opportunity to take the app for a spin. I think the most important thing that we're learning today is, you know, seeding product is really important without the ask. You know, you're sending out products to influencers that create great content that can likely sell, have been proven to sell. And if it resonates with them and a relationship is built, I think that's the key message that I'm learning today. You know, and once again, thanks, Cody, for number one, taking time today to, you know, I guess share your knowledge and your vision and giving back the Shopify ecosystem. Like it's to me, it seems very apparent. I mean, I think you know this, but Shopify really has a mission right now, and it is to make commerce better for everyone. And it seems, you know, based on this conversation today, it's clear both the kinship team, you, everyone, it seems to be in tight alignment with really wanting to help Shopify brands to, I guess, improve efficiencies, I guess, through the app and seeding product. And then in the end, creating relationships, growing revenue, and then in the end, building this lifetime customer loyalty. So thanks for coming on the show and sharing today.
I really appreciate it, Steve. And we're huge believers in Shopify. We mentioned with Shopify Compass and the app and a lot of our brands, 99% of our brands are on Shopify. So we're big supporters. And thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. If you're a Shopify partner, join leading agencies like The Tap Room, Milk Bottle Labs, BVA, and more in the Rewind Agency Partner Program. You can earn up to $1,000 for recommending Rewind to your clients. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're a merchant, feel confident and enjoy peace of mind that your store is always safe with automatic backups by Rewind. Learn more by looking up Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.io. And make sure you mention E-commerce Fastlane Podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.